May God's grace be with you today, from God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on drawing near to God. And so far, we've talked about drawing near to God through, what, personal time in the Word, prayer, fasting, by deeds. And this week, I'd like to talk with you about drawing near to God through preaching, the preaching of the Word of God in spirit and in truth. I want to ask, can we indeed draw near to God through what I'm doing here right now? Yeah. Preaching? Absolutely. And it's amazing, considering that a lot of people joke about sermons, right? If you're not in the pulpit and you're out trying to share in the street, they say, don't preach to me, right? Preaching's a bad word. And in the pulpit, they say, the sermon's too long. I'm going to fall asleep, take a nap. I got better things to do. Or they treat it like a rock concert, like I'm up here to entertain. And then with no real intention on your part of actually putting it into practice with faith. So people despise preaching a lot in the world. But we're going to talk today about the preaching and drawing near to God through it, especially two things. Number one, can we indeed draw near to God through preaching? And secondly, what kind of preacher does God want you to be to your neighbors? And what kind does he want me to be towards you? Let's take a look at that today. First of all, Jesus says this about drawing near to God. Of all things in the world, the number one primary way in which God draws near to man and man draws near to God is through the preaching of the Word. Do you believe that? Where's that written? Well, let's take a look at an old familiar story, Luke chapter 10. It's not long. Let's just read this part again. Mary and Martha. We read here that Jesus entered a village. This is verse 38. And a woman named Martha received him into her house, had a sister Mary, you know the story, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Literally in the Greek, listened to his word, to his preaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. Note something here. Jesus doesn't say two things are needful, but one. And what is that one thing? The preaching of the word. And he's not willing to take that from Mary for anything. Because that's the number one way God draws near to her. And she draws near to God. Amen? Amen. How many things are needful? Just to make sure you're listening. One thing, Jesus says, and that's the preaching. That's at the top. Why is preaching so important? Well, let's open to another scripture for that one. Romans 1:16, Paul says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Say that word, power.
Power.
Let me hear it again.
Power.
One more time.
Power.
All right. Do you realize what I'm doing up here right now is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith when I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen? Isn't that amazing? It sounds like just little Greg up here, but it is Greg, but it's not just me. I've been sent to bring a message, and that message has power. The word in the Greek is dunamis, from which you get the word dynamite. It's inherent power, capable power, a power with the ability to achieve, a power with great capabilities. A power, actually God's own almighty energy that's contained in the words that I'm actually giving to you right now, that is when I preach the words of this book. Do you realize it's by that same word that's now coming through my lips by God? By that same word, God created the heavens and the earth and created them in 6 days. By this word, by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a person is saved, God says. A person can go from being under condemnation to being forgiven, from being under the wrath of God to being saved. A person can go from spending an eternity in the lake of fire to an eternity in the wonderful blue skies of heaven, from going with war with God to peace with God through what again? The word. The preaching of it, hearing it with faith. And in Galatians 3, it says, you receive the Holy Spirit by the word with faith. Heard with faith. And so, therefore, let's say that again. Power. Peter says, you've been born anew, not of perishable seeds, but of imperishable, by the living and abiding Word of God. The Word of God. And what is that word? He says a few verses later, that word is the good news which was preached to you. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Then that word has been implanted in you, imperishable, and has the ability to give you a destiny in heaven with God forever. Wow! By the preaching of the word, number one, Jesus says. And how then should you hear my words today? Greg up here talking? Yeah, Greg's talking. But you should hear these words as God's words, actually. Let's hear what Peter says. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he writes to the Thessalonians and says, we thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. Isn't that amazing? That God has sent me like a mailman, a delivery man, to deliver to you a message, and this is really his word when I preach the scriptures. So, is that how you hear it? Is it Greg's word or God's word? God's word through Greg. Yeah, sure, we have interaction. I'm speaking to you. These are my lips, I believe, last I looked. But God puts in our lips his word because he wants you to draw near to him. He draws near to you through the preaching of Jesus Christ, his son. That's pretty cool, I think. God drawing near to you today. What's the job of the preacher there? How essential is he? Well, certainly you could get another preacher. There are lots of preachers. But what if you had no preacher? Listen to this. Romans chapter 10, Paul says, he quotes the Old Testament, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, right? He says, but then how are men to call upon him in whom they've not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can men preach unless they're sent? And then he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. You think my feet are beautiful up here today? He says, so faith comes from what is heard. What is heard comes by the preaching or the word of Christ. And so how essential is the preacher? Guess what? You get saved by calling on the name of Jesus. If there's no preacher, you never hear the name. If you never hear the name, you don't call upon it. If no one calls upon it, no one's saved. So how essential is the preacher and his office? This is a key role in God's plan for your salvation and mine and the salvation of your neighbors, because you're to be preachers to your neighbors. How shall they hear and be saved without a preacher? Can't happen, says Paul. And isn't it a marvel then that considering all this stuff, how lightly esteemed is preaching in the world? People make fun of it. They laugh about it. It's too long. Don't go over 10 minutes, pastor, or something like that. Or it's time to take a nap. Or, boy, I can't wait to go get lunch. You know what? One of our snowbirds who's not down here yet told me when he was at another church years ago, he was on their call committee to select a new pastor, and he said he was shocked. They were unanimous. Their one requirement they had for the new pastor was that he preached short sermons, and he promised not to exceed 10 minutes. You know the reason? He said because that church had a competition with another church in town, I think Baptist or something, where they were racing to the restaurant after church to see who could eat their omelets and flapjacks first. And if he goes over 10 minutes, they're going to lose their seats to the other church. How lightly is esteemed in the world the word by which we must be saved and by which we grow up to salvation to attain the crown of glory. If you don't hear this word, even if you're a Christian, you could fall away. We're here to attain the crown of glory. God sent me here to be able to make sure that you do get there. Isn't that great that God gives us these things? How beautiful are upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So that's the first part of the sermon. We draw near to God by the preaching of the word, and God draws near to us Praise God, he's here today. Wherever two or three are gathered, there I am. Next question. Big. This is the next part of the sermon. What kind of preacher, though, does God want you to be? What kind does he want me to be towards you so that we may attain that crown of glory? What's God say about a true preacher, what he should be like? Okay, let's list them. Number one, God says, my true preacher is to preach my words, the words of this book and this book alone. He's not to deviate from them, he's not to add to them, and he's not to say, take away from them. All right, God said, Jesus says scripture can't be broken, right? Paul says it's all inspired by God. And as God commanded Moses, so he commands us, you shall not add to the words of this book, to the words which I shall command you, nor take away from it. What did Jesus say in the gospel lesson? If anybody comes preaching on his own words, he's seeking his own glory. And by this you may see who are the true preachers of God. The one who seeks the glory of him who sent him, that person's true. And even Jesus himself said, the teaching's not mine. It's the teaching of the one who sent me. Isn't that beautiful? Even the Word of God himself said that. So his true preachers are to preach not their own words, their own opinions, their own speculations, but this word, his word, and Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You know how many people, and this is a temptation for all of us, including myself, to either add to it or take away from this word in the preaching? There's this temptation to be an entertainer, right? For entertainment's sake. Or a comedian for a comedian's sake. Or to take away from that word, as I've seen in a lot of places, where they just flatly even contradict it. Other times you go to churches and hear sermons where they might not say anything wrong, but they never preach on what is right, what they really need to hear about. That's subtracting. Other people add to the word by saying, well, the word says this, but let's go with our logic, let's go with our reason, and start adding, and then all of a sudden things are twisted again. God says, stick to this book and this book alone. Those are my words by the Spirit. And I want to share with you, every pastor feels the need to entertain to some degree. You know, I'm not going to sit up here and strum a banjo and jump around, but I got to keep your attention, right? That's okay to some degree, as long as it's not for entertainment's sake or comedy for comic sake, but it's always got to be about the word. And I can confess, one week, maybe a couple of years ago, I finished preparing a sermon for you guys, and I went to Beth and I said, I feel a little weird about this sermon because it's just all only scripture. 4 pages, 10 font, just scripture and answer to questions. I'm just going to read to them scripture. And I said, I feel a little weird. I don't even have one illustration. I don't have one personal story. I don't have anything extra. It's just scripture. And it's a little weird. Beth said, yells from the other room, and what's better than scripture? I said, well, nothing. She says, I think you just answered your dilemma. I'm so thankful to have a wise wife. And you know what? That was a better sermon probably than the others because it was just on straight, plain the word of God. I love on the radio when I hear someone reading scripture and proclaiming it enthusiastically. I'm just like, keep going, man. And then he gets back onto his own story. I'm like, boring. Come on, give me the word. Because that's what will never return void. How about when you're evangelizing somebody? When you're out there to share the word with your neighbors? You know your temptation? I got to have the right argument. I got to have the right method. I got to debate him into the world and into the kingdom. I got to have just the right personal stories. God says, just forget all that. Just give him my word. Just read to them the scripture. Just read them a couple of these things and trust my promise that my word is not going to return to me empty. It's not going to return to me void. It's going to accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Do you do that? Good. And whether they hear, God says in Ezekiel, or whether they refuse to hear, for they're a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Isn't that beautiful? Let that be said of you and every one of us here. Let them know that a prophet has been among them because you have shared with them simply this word. And let the chips fly and land where they may, right? Because God's going to make them land as long as we speak in love. So preach the word, God says to preachers. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince people, rebuke people. Be unfailing in your patience. and in teaching. For the time is coming, God says, when people are not going to endure sound teaching. They're going to have itching ears, and they'll accumulate for themselves teachers that will suit their own likings. They'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. But as for you, always be steady. Do the work of an evangelist, endure suffering, fulfill your ministry, says God. So that's number one, right? The preacher's got to stick with his book and this book alone, God's word and Jesus Christ. All right, the second thing God says to us is that my preacher's life also has got to be in accord with what he speaks. Is your life in accord with what you speak? Otherwise, what happens to your testimony? Can you think of an example in the Bible where someone had a great testimony and then destroyed it by his actions? Think about David, for example. I mean, the guy not only preached Scripture and was a shepherd of Israel, he wrote Scripture. And then what do we read there? It says, 2 Samuel 11, it happened. Late one afternoon, when David arose from his couch and was walking upon the roof of the king's house, he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. Now, for those of you who know the story, I don't need to finish it. For those who don't know the story, I think you can finish it on your own. You can guess. He slept with her. And eventually had her husband killed. It was a terrible mess and tragedy. And was destroying the work that he had in the word, in a sense. Ever happened in modern times, the same thing? I know a preacher I greatly admired, spoke the truth. He was spot on with preaching, but his life was not spotless. He actually got involved with an affair, and he fell from a great marriage, a great church, a great life, a great ministry through that sin, and he's a shadow of what he once was, all because his life was not in accord with it. Although God can forgive, let's try to make it that God doesn't have to restore us after falling that way. Let's guard each other. You guard me. I'll guard you. We'll get each other's backs and make sure we stay safe, not only preaching it, but living it. Paul says to Timothy, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Hold to that, for by so doing, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. Okay, so that's number two. Third thing God says, and I love this one. He says, let my preachers be fearless and remember who is with them. Are you fearless in your preaching? Probably none of us can raise our hand. But God says, let you be so. Listen to this. God now speaking to you through me. I want you to hear it as from him. I'm just the mailman. He says, Isaiah 51, I am he who comforts you, says your God. Who are you that you're afraid of a man who dies, of the son of man who's made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord, your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? And you fear continually all the day because of the fury of the oppressor. Where is the fury of the oppressor? He himself, when he sets himself to destroy. Where is the fury of the oppressor? He who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit. Neither shall his bread fail. Listen to this. God says to you, for I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name, and I have put my words in your mouth and hid you in the shadow of my hand, stretching out the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth and saying to Zion, you are my people. Does that make you fearless? Wouldn't you love to be just bold and fearless? We usually stand kind of like this when we share. We should be like this, right? Strong, fearless. How many people in the Bible have fallen because of fear? How many modern-day preachers will not preach on controversial subjects, Freemasonry, Antichrist, or abortion, or things like that, because they're afraid of ruffling feathers? Well, take Saul in the Old Testament. Remember, he was king. He was supposed to go avenge God's wrath on the Amalekites, and he saves some of their booty alive for himself, and Samuel chastises him, and Saul's answer is, I have sinned because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Whoo, how many preachers today might be found guilty in the same way? I've sinned, I didn't share with them the truth because I feared the people, right? May I never fear you, And may you never fear me. We hold each other in loving respect, of course, but let's just speak the truth. Let's fear God only and not fear man. Let's seek God's pleasure and favor and not the pleasure of man and favor of them. The fear of man lays a snare, remember, but he who trusts in the Lord, that person is safe. Remember, even Peter himself, when he came to Antioch, he was eaten with the Gentiles, but when certain people came from James, from the circumcision party, he got afraid. It says he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. Even Peter himself backs down from his preaching office and from the gospel because he was afraid of men. Let's not be afraid of man. Even Paul, fearless Paul, Jesus had to encourage him, saying, "Don't be afraid, but speak, and don't be silent, for I'm with you. No man shall attack you to harm you, for I have many people in this city." Isn't that beautiful? Can you hear that word to God to you today? Are you still afraid? Still afraid to speak to your neighbors? God's with you. Are you fearless? I had the good pleasure of hearing Bob Tebow speak. You know, Tim Tebow, NFL player's dad, at the Seafarers Ministry Banquet recently. He said, we should be fearless. He says he's a missionary. He routinely goes into places abroad where no man should go. He's been warned, a white man can't go to that village. Or, they're all Muslims there. They'll kill you if you go. He says, I'm not afraid. That's not the way a preacher is supposed to be. He says he went right into this place. I don't know which place it was. Some far-off country. All Muslim. He says, I just walked right into that place where people said I shouldn't go. Only white man. And I was the only Christian. All Muslims. He says he walked right into the mosque. He walked right up to the imam. And he says, I'd like to preach to your people and share with them a word about God's love and how that they can be assured of heaven. And he says, I wasn't afraid of that imam. That's as a Muslim pastor. He says, he puts his pants on the same as any other man. All right? And amazingly, the imam said yes. And the whole village came out to hear. And he says the spotlight was on him. And he said he couldn't see any of the people, but he said, I didn't care. I wanted them to see my face and my eyes, to see that in them there was no fear. And he shared with them a word of grace, which is not found, by the way, in Islam. And the first time that people ever heard about God loving them, and nearly the entire village came to Jesus Christ. He says, we're not to be afraid. God sends us forth to set people free. And he's gonna take care of all your enemies. Just go forward as my people. Go forward and speak. Go forward and share with them my son Jesus. Let the chips fall where they may. If they kill you, I got a crown for you in heaven. And in the meantime, they can't kill you until I say so. And that will only be to your greater glory and God's. The wicked flee, friends, when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Say, bold as a lion.
Bold as a lion.
Oh, you sound good. Grr. So finally today, this is point four, is God says, my preacher's job is not just to give the people a word, but a person. You're to give my son, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And that's what I'm to give to you each week. Not just a word or concepts, but a person. That's who I'm bringing to you. Paul says, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God and lofty words of wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man. And we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So the true content of true preaching is what? Say it. You with me? A person. And that's a relationship. I am here sent to bring you into a deeper relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I preach to bring you to Jesus and Jesus to you. And that's the connection that's got to be made. That's why we draw near to God through the preaching of the word. So I may entertain you at times, but I'm not an entertainer. I may motivate you, but I'm not a motivational speaker. I may share a humor or joke occasionally, but I'm not a comedian. Who am I? I am your brother, commissioned and sent by God to bring you to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ to you. And I offer my lips to be his mouth. And I want you right now to hear Jesus Christ himself standing in me before you, speaking to you these very words, just using me. He says, "For this I was born, and for this I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who keeps my word, he will never see death. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In him, in me, you have redemption through my blood, the forgiveness of your trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon you. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name than my name, Jesus, under heaven, given among men by which we must be saved." And I, Greg, now tells you, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. So you need this word. I need this word. I need you. You need me. And our neighbors, friends, need us to speak that your feet may be beautiful upon the mountains, to preach good news to your neighbors. So now I conclude with this word, Acts 20, "And now I commend you all. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance, the inheritance among those who are sanctified. In Jesus' name, amen."